Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for home theater geeks is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded July 1st, 2011, episode 71, Inside the Chat Room. This episode of Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code HTG7. Hey there, Scott Wilkinson here with UltimateAVMag.com and HomeTheater.com. In this special episode of Home Theater Geeks, I have no guest. Instead, what I'm going to be doing is giving you a little video tour of my own personal home theater and then answering questions from the chat room. We've got some 470 folks in the chat room who are eagerly chatting away, and I'm very glad to have them with me every week on Home Theater Geeks, but especially this week since I'm going to be answering questions from them. And of course, anyone who's in the chat room, please answer or pose any questions you like, make comments, anything you want to do, and I will be interacting with you for this entire hour, except when I show you my home theater, which I will do right now. So if you will pardon me for just a second, I'm going to move out of camera range, and I'm going to detach the camera from the tripod so that I can show you around the theater, which means that it's going to get a little shaky for a minute, so please pardon me for that. I'm going to step out of the camera range here, and I'm going to see if I can delicately dislodge the camera, and let's see here now. Can I get this? I've got plenty of battery life. Don't see too much, I'm afraid. At least I can't. Well, you can see a little bit. Here's my media rack. You can see the light that I use for the podcast as well. I just want to show you something kind of interesting here. You've seen these laser crystals, these crystals that are etched from the inside with lasers. This is a very special one. It's called the Calabi Yau Manifold. It is a three-dimensional projection of what physicists, string theorists in particular, believe that the 10-dimensional space of string theory might look like in a three-dimensional projection. So I just thought that was super cool. So that's part of my studio. You can see my THX. There it is. Whoa! Can't get too zoomy here. I am a THX-certified video calibrator, and my theater is THX-certified. So as I zoom back out, you can see one of my most prized possessions is this artwork, which was done by the Blue Man Group in Las Vegas. They paint a picture similar to this on stage every show. And at the end of the show, you can go and buy it in their shop. So I went and I bought it, and it's fluorescent, so I've got a black light on it right now, which is why it's kind of glowing. And that's kind of cool, too. So as we move along, we see the lovely Kuro 50-inch plasma. This is the Pro 101 FD, the 9G, last generation monitor. The color is totally wrong on this video feed, so you'll have to bear with me on that. I don't know why quite that is. The room, in fact, is a dark, what's called a Munsell gray. It has no hue to it, and it's about 19% reflective, which means that it only reflects 19% of the incident light. And when the lights are really off in this room, it's a black hole, which is what I like in my home theater. There's the lava lamp, of course, that you see behind me in every show. and the Tix clock, T-I-X, which tells me that it's 12:42 right now. And up above the lava lamp is the CIE diagram, which is a very colorful representation of all the colors that we can see. And so I just have it up on the wall to remind me that we can only see certain colors. My Hogwarts banner that I found at a, I don't know, some store up the street. And some Disney artwork, which they gave to journalists at various events. Another clock. I happen to be really into clocks. And so this one is the Googly Eyes clock, which shows the hour in the left and the minute on the right. And that's kind of goofy. It's kind of white, too, so I don't really do it that much, spend that much time on it. Here's my equipment rack. I have to get out of the way of the other light. and most of this equipment is, well, it's not being used anymore. Stuff comes in and out of here all the time, and sometimes it stays. Not that I, you know, steal it or anything. If the manufacturer wants it back, they can have it back. But in most cases, these are so old that the manufacturer wouldn't want them anyway. Mostly what I have here is the TiVo Series 3, if I can zoom in here. Yeah, there it is. And on top of that, the Panasonic BD65. It's a couple years old Blu-ray player, not 3D, because I don't have 3D display in this room. And those are sort of my two primary sources, other than the Dish Network 722 receiver, which is down there. And so Dish Network and over-the-air from TiVo. The autofocus is having a little trouble there. And then the Panasonic Blu-ray player. I should also point out that up above the TV, if I can find it, let me zoom out here, is a drop-down screen. And that is when I have a projector in this room, which I don't at the moment. But when I do, that screen can drop down in front of the Kuro. And then I can have a projection system in the theater. So there you have a very brief tour of my own home theater, which is sitting in my house, which is where I do Home Theater Geeks. Now, I'm going to be very careful about putting this camera back on the tripod, so I hope you'll forgive a little bit of shakiness. But I think that did it. And now as I come back into the frame, I want to get so that you can see the lava lamp, very important, and make sure that my white balance, I guess it's okay. It probably changed a little bit as we went along there. So, so there you go. There's a little picture of my home theater. At some point soon, I will be probably moving along, changing where I do the podcast from, actually, to my studio, which is about 3 miles up the road, and that is where I do most of my TV testing. And that is, we didn't have sufficient bandwidth up there before this week, actually. But I finally bugged the IT department enough that they installed a higher bandwidth system, so I should be able to actually do my podcast from there. And when I do, I will certainly show you that as well. We're certainly getting a lot of comments here in the chat room. Ringo is asking, what speakers am I using currently? Those are PSBs. They are, I think they are the T6 Towers. And I forget what the center is. It's the matching center and a pair of surrounds. And I think it's the 5i, the super subsonic 5i subwoofer. So those are the speakers that I'm using. How much did the TV cost? In its day, when it was available, it was $5,000. So that was that's one reason why the Pioneer Curo did not survive, is it was just too expensive. What brand of amps do I use? I actually use a Pioneer receiver. It's a somewhat older receiver. It's the VSX49TXI, I believe, is the model number. So I use an AV receiver in here. Green Pilot asks, do you think it makes sense to get a 720p LCD over 1080p for 32-inch screen size? Obviously, to save money. Well, this is a bit of a controversy in that most experts will tell you that, no, it doesn't make any difference. 720p will look just fine at that screen size, especially if you're sitting far enough away. And I will agree that you won't be able to see a difference in detail, in resolution, because your eye can only resolve so much detail. However, having said that, I will also say that I believe that when most HD TV, which is at 1080i, and most Blu-ray, which is at 1080p, gets down-converted, downscaled to 720p, there may very well be scaling artifacts that you can see, even at that screen size, and even if you're far enough away that you can't see the difference in terms of absolute detail. So I always recommend getting 1080p if you can. Yes, 720p will be a little less expensive, but ultimately, I think 1080p is a better way to go, even at smaller screen sizes, because of this downscaling, the potential for downscaling artifacts. If the processor in the TV is good, then you probably won't see them. But there's no way to know if it's good or not unless you test it, which we are going to be doing more and more on HomeTheater.com. We're going to be testing lower-cost TVs and perhaps getting into that as well. I'm sorry, I can't do the tour again with more lights at the moment. It's what I've got. It's just what I got. Streaming box, let's see, yeah, Web 3710. The streaming box I have is the Panasonic Blu-ray player, the 65. BD65 is all I have in terms of streaming at the moment. Let's see here. Do you like one or two subwoofers? I prefer two. I don't have two in this room, but if I would prefer to have two subwoofers ultimately, because that, with proper placement, will tend to smooth out the room modes very nicely. That helps more than any kind of EQ or anything like that. So I would use two subwoofers in here if I had them, absolutely. What's your major? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, that was to M84, not me. okay, what are my favorite Blu-ray discs for good video? Oh man, there's a ton of them, and the way to where to find those is on ultimateavmag.com. I think ours is the only site that offers this feature called Ultimate Demos. They're written by David Vaughn, our movie reviewer, and he goes through these movies that he thinks are very, very high quality video and audio, and highlights, points out specific scenes down to the time code second, and tells you what to look for. So go to ultimateavmag.com and click on Ultimate Demos, and you'll see a ton of examples of excellent, high-quality Blu-rays that you can use to demo your theater, which is really why we called it Ultimate Demos, was in order to steer people to a place to do that. Is 120, let's see, Web 9146, is a 120 hertz PC monitor good for gaming? I would think so, but I am so not a gamer that that I really couldn't tell you. I am totally not a gamer. Jeff asks, don't you have a Media Center computer hooked up? No, the answer is no, I don't. I do have one sitting on that stack from HP, but I haven't yet... I have used it, but I haven't used it in a long time. It did have some problems. It's a couple years old now. I'm sure things are a lot better. But let's see. Here's some other questions. Lazy Guru asks, do I use any acoustic treatment? At the moment, I don't. This room is 13 by 16 by 8. And I haven't done the calculations of room modes. I did it when I first moved in, but not since then. But as I recall, they weren't too bad, and so I didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about or dealing with acoustic room treatments. We will be doing room acoustic treatments in the in our studio, where I will be broadcasting from shortly, because there the room is almost square, and a square room is very difficult. How big is my pull-down screen? It's actually a retractable screen. It's 60 inches wide, and my seating distance is 8 feet. And that is pretty ideal. The 50-inch plasma is a little too small for that seating distance, but I don't know if you could see it or not, but I couldn't fit a 60 in there in the furniture that I have here, and I wasn't in a position to change that out at the time. So I live with a 50-inch, but the picture quality is so good that it's really okay. How much is my electric bill? Bonaparte asks. You know, my wife takes care of all of that, and she pays the bills, so I couldn't really answer that question. Why Dish Network over DirecTV? Doesn't Dish Network do only 1440 by 1080 and DirecTV 1920 by 1080? No. Dish Network does 1920 by 1080. Both of them mostly do 1080i. But they're both the same resolution. I originally got Dish Network because I was, and this gets a little off topic, and pardon me for saying so, but I didn't want to give Rupert Murdoch any of my money. But since he doesn't own DirecTV anymore, I would be willing to consider DirecTV. Let's see. Red Tomato says, I'm having trouble with the HDCP error with a Samsung LCD TV. HDCP is high definition copy protection over HDMI. I have an HDMI cable running from Blu-ray into Denon AV receiver, then HDMI out to the TV. What could the problem be? Boy, that's a good question. I don't really know. I'd have to find out a little bit more about the situation. It shouldn't be a problem. You should be able to run out to a Denon receiver and out to your TV. I don't think I've ever seen an HDCP error before. Bonaparte asks, did I test Google TV? I haven't yet. I was going to, and then I heard that they were revamping it and redoing it. So I decided I would wait until Generation 2 came out before trying it, because I didn't want to slam them while they were getting some problems there, while they knew they were acknowledging that they were having problems. How far do I sit from the plasma? 8 feet. Do I have 5.1 or 7.1? 5.1 I have. In this small room particularly, I feel no need for 7.1. I've always felt that having 7.1 in the back of the room was not as important because we have so much less directional discrimination behind us than we do in front of us, it's not that important. So I don't have a problem with that. Ken Crayley asked, am I excited for the Star Wars films on Blu-ray? You bet. Can't wait. I really hope they invite me to whatever junket they're doing for it. I'm sure they're going to do a junket, and I would love to go to that. I've been up to the ranch a couple times. I will tell you this. Skywalker Ranch is a gorgeous place. Really nice. And I've even stayed on site once at the little inn that they have there, which is amazing. So, yes, I am really excited for the Star Wars films on Blu-ray. Did I buy the Lord of the Rings extended version on Blu-ray? Not yet. I intend to because I hear it's just fantastic. Really a substantial improvement over the originals. New Kid says, how do you spell the gray color on your walls? It's Munsell, M-U-N-S-E-L-L. And that's the name of the color, Munsell Gray. It's a very neutral gray, and that's ideally what you want to paint your home theater. In fact, I showed my wife the swatches of Munsell Gray, and I said, "What's the darkest you will accept?" And she pointed to 19%, so that's what it's painted. Now, if you were asking me about my my major, Jeff, it was, I have 2 degrees, one in physics and one in music. So I find that combining them to cover home theater actually works pretty well. I used to cover pro audio, and it worked very well there too. But I like the combination. Let's see here. What else have we got? The ticks clock. Eric Duckman pointed out the ticks clock. 1.3. Let's see. Boy, I'm just getting a ton of stuff coming up here. Midnight Rider asks, do the subs have to be matching pair, or can you go with two different ones? That's a good question. I would probably prefer a matching pair, but it probably doesn't matter as much as it does for the main speakers. For the main speakers, it matters a lot. It's really important, critically important. So that's going to be something that you really want to be careful about. The subs, I think it's probably less important, but you wouldn't want them to be too dissimilar, I would say. So ideally, you'd want them matching probably. I do not use biamping. I don't find it to be that much better in the examples I've heard. I just use a straight ahead, AV receiver, Pioneer AV receiver. When do you think we will see, Montreal guy asks, when do you think we'll see more high resolution than 1080p at home? That's going to be several years. They are working on it, and we're going to see, I think the next step is going to be 4K, which the exact resolution is still under some debate. I've heard 38-something by 2160. 2160 is twice 1080, so that's probably what the horizontal resolution is going to be. But the horizontal resolution is under some debate. It might be 4096. It might be 38. I forget the exact number. 4096 by 2160 isn't 16 by 9 and with square pixels, and that's the problem there. So I think that that is still being discussed, and we are going to see 4K at some point, but I don't think it's going to be for several years. Let's see. Do I plan to get someone from Skywalker Sound on my podcast? Yes, I absolutely do. I'm waiting to hear from a number of people there. In fact, I really hope to get Gary Rydstrom, who I've met a couple of times, and love to get him on the show. He's a busy guy, so I don't know. Dale Poco says, 60-inch plasma, about 7 to 8 feet, that's perfect. That's exactly the right size. That's the kind of size that's the kind of distance and size that works beautifully together. What's the most expensive speakers I've listened to? Let's see. Probably the MBL 101s. I heard those at THE show a few weeks ago. Gorgeous. Oh, man, they sounded great. I forget how much they were. Certainly well into the five figures. Let's see. I measured, Echo asks if I used an SPL meter to measure my speaker setup. Yes, I did when I first set it up. That was some time ago. Let's see. Why is Warrior asks, am I going to do the show at the new studio when it opens? Yes, absolutely. That is my plan. I'm going to set up a new set, and I'm going to really be able to do some nice things there, have some live guests, in-studio guests for one thing. That's going to be really nice. Let's see here. Titus says he wants electron microscope resolution. Yeah, I could get into that, I suppose. The question of resolution is a tricky one, because of course, as we were talking about earlier, 720p or 1080p at a small screen size far enough away, you can't really see the difference in terms of detail. And so people say, well, 4K, if you're going to put 4K on a 32-inch monitor, it makes no sense. It doesn't do anything. And in the sense of detail, that's true. But again, I say the scaling artifacts are what might intrude on what you see. And so that's why I'm not a big fan of 720p even at small sizes. Now, when we get 4K, in terms of detail, you're going to need a huge screen, or you're going to need to sit really close in order to see the advantage of that. Not only that, in order to really take advantage of 4K, you're going to need 4K native content. So even if they produce 4K TVs, they don't have any now, but there are a couple of 4K projectors that you can get for a couple $100,000, you still need 4K content, and that's going to require a new delivery system. You know, I don't know of any U.S. household that has enough bandwidth to stream 4K, and everyone's saying, oh, Blu-ray's the last physical format we're ever going to see, and everything else is going to stream from then. But 4K, not until we have a lot more bandwidth into people's homes. And Blu-ray can't support 4K, so if we don't stream it, we're going to need a new disc format, and that's going to take years to develop, and the studios are going to fight tooth and nail for, you know, all sorts of draconian copyright protection. So all of those things in terms of 4K, all of that is going to impede its adoption into the home, which means we're not going to see 4K for several years at least. I would not worry about that at all. I'm perfectly happy with 1080p, that's how I feel about that. Let's see. Da Vinci Wonder says he likes the little Bose Cinemate GS system. Is there something wrong with me? Well, no, not at all. Hey, I'm all for if you like it, then by all means, enjoy. Have a great time. There was another question in here I saw flash by a little bit ago that are Bose products overpriced? I believe they are. In my estimation, I don't think that in many cases they sound that good, and yet they're very expensive. The big difference or exception to that rule, or impression, I should say, is the Bose Quiet Comfort 15 noise canceling headphones. Beautiful, really nice. I wear them on all airline flights. I really like them a lot. And if you like the Bose system, then more power to you. Enjoy. Have a great time with it. Web 5483 really enjoyed the Bob Carver interview. Boy, I did too. He's a really interesting guy. Jeff asks, what's the seating situation in my home theater? How many people can watch with me? Well, that's a limiting factor in this small room, that's for sure. I have two recliners. It's my wife and me. And we have some what are called back jacks, which are these sort of stiff-backed cushioned seats that you put on the floor. So I can get a couple people in here on the floor, or some. Usually when I have guests, of course, they get the seats and I get the floor. But that's the kind of seating we have in here. We just have two recliners for my wife and me, and a rack in between them. I didn't show that to you because I didn't really have the wherewithal to do that, where the projector would sit if there was one, and there's a little sort of table between us where we can put stuff, and mostly it's just my wife and me, cozy in our little black hole room. Let's see. It'd be awesome also to have a subwoofer behind me. Well, I actually do have a subwoofer behind me. Have you had experience with Odyssey or MA? Let's see. It's MACAC. It's MCACC. You have it spelled MAACC. Yes, I did run MCACC in this room on the Pioneer receiver, and I thought it improved the situation pretty well. Ah, yes, aphasia. Thank you. I love that screen name, by the way. 4K, one of the 4K resolution, horizontal resolution, is could be 3840 by 2160. Let's see. Jeff asks about heat. How do you cool the room and dampen the noise? Well, actually, we have central air here in this house, and the air conditioner is basically on the roof at the other end of the house. So I really didn't have to do anything in terms of duct work to quiet down the air into the room. So I don't have a problem with it, and the AC is very effective. Let's see. XPun3414 says, I've heard the 1080 is not true 1080, but a rebuild of 720 up to 1080. True? Absolutely not. Totally false. Plenty of stuff is at true 1080. A lot of stuff was actually movies in particular, and TV. A lot of TV shows still are captured on film and then digitized, typically at 4K, and then down-resed to 1080. So it's absolutely not true that 1080 is upscaled 720. That is completely false. Yes, I am hot because it's very hot in this room right now. I don't know why. I suspect because the air conditioning isn't on. I should probably go see if my wife can turn on the TV. Turn on the AC. All these things here. Any general thoughts on internet TV and getting signal over the net? My general thoughts on that are, I don't particularly like what I've seen of streaming video. It's too compressed. It's too compressed. The video quality simply isn't that good, and not for me. I'm a purist when it comes to video quality, so that is what I have to say about that. So I don't watch that much streamed content, just because it's just not the kind of quality that I like. What's my favorite meal when watching a movie? Bonaparte asks. I don't know if I have an answer to that. That's a good question. Nope, can't tell you. Sometimes we get sushi to go, bring it home and watch something. McT asks, do I still have laser discs? How about 8-track? I do have some laser discs. I even have a laser disc player. I don't have it hooked up to the system, and I don't really watch them anymore. I'm just going to go off camera for 1 second here, because whoever was in the chat room noticed me sweating is, in fact, correct. I am really sweating, so I'm going to help myself there a little bit. Captain Kipper asks, what do you think of passive 3D TVs? This is a good question. I have to say that the current generation of 3D TV, of passive 3D TVs, I don't like that much. I like the fact that the glasses are cheap, and I like the fact that they're lighter in weight and not active, so you don't have to either plug them in or replace the batteries. But they only give you half resolution, half vertical resolution, and you can see these black lines, thin black lines on the screen, because each eye is seeing only half of the lines. And so you get these black lines, which you see one set in one eye and one different set in the other eye, but you can see them. And I don't particularly like that. Plus the fact that the vertical viewing angle is very narrow. So if you get much above or below the center line, then you start seeing the double image. You start seeing a lot of ghosting. On the other hand, active 3D glasses are expensive, and they're heavy, and they need to be recharged, all those things I said a moment ago. So those are disadvantages there. What I'm really looking forward to is the Samsung, what they're calling active-passive hybrid, which is with a in collaboration with Real D, the company that does 3D for commercial cinema. And what they're doing is they're putting an active polarization switcher in front of the LCD screen so that instead of the glasses actively blinking on and off, this film in front of the TV is actively switching polarization for the right and left eye in synchronization with showing the right or left eye image on the screen. And then all you have to do is wear passive glasses, just like you would in the movie theater, but you're seeing full resolution in each eye. And that is critical. And when those TVs come out sometime next year, then I'm going to be pretty excited about passive 3D. I saw a question much earlier about whether or not I'm not a fan of 3D. And you might think so. In my home theater, I don't have 3D. You might think I'm not a fan, but that's not true. I am a fan. I do enjoy 3D, at least when it's well done. That's the key. And so I do enjoy it. On the other hand, I don't want to give up my Curo. So the next 3D I have in this room will be a front projector. It'll be probably a JVC. And I'll put it on the retractable screen. I'll bring it down, and that'll reuse active glasses. But that is that's the price I'm going to have to pay. Bonaparte asks, how many remote controls do I have, or do you use a Harmony? Well, there you go. I use a Harmony. The Harmony One from Logitech is the best universal remote I've ever used. No question about it. I've also recently started playing with the Harmony 700, which is a little, I think it controls a few less devices and so on, but it's really very good. So any of the Harmony remotes, I really like the way that you program them, which is online, and all you do is you say, here's all the equipment I have. Here's which device changes channels. Here's which device changes the volume. And then the website pumps everything into the remote, and you're done. So it's far simpler to program than most universal remotes. And that's so I use the Harmony. That's the only one I have. I mean, I have them for all this gear, but they're all in boxes and little storage things, and I rarely use them. Now, I will say this about universal remotes. It's important to keep the original remotes around and available in case you have to do something unusual. And in which case the Harmony might give you a button to do what you want to do, but it might not. And if it does, it might be buried in several pages of soft buttons on the remote. So it's a good idea to keep those remotes around. Let's see here. Jeff asks, are optical discs going to die out? If so, how many years? I think it's going to be quite a while myself. I don't think they're going to die out altogether. Certainly, people are predicting that streaming is going to be the wave of the future, and it is in many respects. But as I said earlier, it doesn't give you the quality. It doesn't give me the quality that I want. So I'm going to stick with optical discs for that reason alone. And I sure hope that, and I believe that many other people are as well. Let's see. Proteus, spelled oddly. I've been a fan of Samsungs for a while. Do you think they are worth the money in the 32 to 38 inch range? I do. I'm sure they are. I haven't really looked at any that small. But Samsung, generally speaking, makes a great product. So I would have no problem recommending any size of Samsung. Wicked Proxy asks, have you noticed a drop in sound quality over time from built-in TV speakers? Well, that's a tricky question because it's always been crap. I guess except in the old days of those big console TVs like from Zenith or something where they had giant speakers. But, in the last 10 years, I don't know that I've noticed a drop. It's always been bad. So I always recommend that you don't use the internal sound of a TV if possible. Now, there are TVs that have better and worse internal sound. And as much as I like the Samsung picture quality, generally speaking, the in-TV sound system is generally quite bad. So I have to say that's not a good thing. Whereas Sony has been pretty good, relatively speaking. But again, I have to say that no internal TV sound I've heard in the last 10 years is worth listening to, in my opinion. So we've got so many comments, and I really appreciate the chat room for just jamming up here with all kinds of interesting questions and comments, and I'm not getting to all of them, and I apologize for that, but I will get right back to them as soon as I take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. It has easy-to-use user interface for creating and managing your website or blog. It's optimized for both beginners and CSS experts. There are hundreds of design templates to choose from, and you can customize any of the designs to fit your needs. There's an iPhone and iPad app for updating your blog on the go, and online resources and a special support team give you 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week personal help. The all-inclusive service includes several modules to build your website, including a blog module, which you can use to import and export from WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, and TypePad, Form Builder, Flickr photo display, a Twitter widget, all kinds of social media buttons, which is really great these days, Google Maps, and more. There's website tracking, so you know how many times your site is viewed, and a built-in search engine optimizer, really important. Leo talks about that all the time. Permission access handling, cloud architecture for speed and site stability. Use Squarespace for all your website needs. Build it, host it, and update it anytime. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com. Sign up for a free account. There's no credit card needed. Just try it out and start building your website. Then, if you decide to purchase, use the offer code HTG7 and get 10% off for 6 months. That's squarespace.com and use the offer code HTG7. So let's see here. Let's get right back to the chat room with a ton of questions. And again, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, but I will get to as many as I can, which is why I'm going so fast. So please bear with me. Oh, yeah, here we go. Kyrie asks, the Bose 901s were good back in the day. Well, yes, I had a pair of Bose 901s in college. In fact, I built my own in-car speakers, my car stereo speakers, from the CTS 4-inch full-range driver, which was what the Bose 901 had nine of. And I stuck them in a wooden box, and I stuck them in the back of my car, and they sounded really good. But these days, I can't say that I'm really a fan. Let's see. Yeah, lots of questions regarding remote controls and how I deal with them. I said I really use the, I like the Harmony so much, and that's what I use. Burke, our engineer, is asking, how do I isolate my components from each other and from the floor? Well, that's a good question, and audiophiles like to do that. Here's something about me. I consider myself a dyed-in-the-wool videophile. I'm really, really critical of video quality. And as a professional musician, I'm also very critical of audio quality. But I don't consider myself an audiophile. And the reason why I've come to understand is that because I'm a professional musician, I play so much live music, there's nothing about recorded music that's ever going to match that quality. So while I do want good quality playback, and in my recording studio, my home recording studio, I have very good quality playback, and I have very good quality playback here in the home theater as well with PSB speakers, Pioneer receiver, but those are not top-of-the-line audiophile-type components. And they're good enough for me. And to answer the question, Burke's question, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about isolating the equipment. I mean, they're all on stands. The speakers are on spikes, so they are fairly decoupled from the floor. The equipment is all on stands that are isolated from the floor. But I do have a couple of things stacked on top of each other in some cases. And I just don't worry about it. I don't think it makes enough difference to the sound to where I'm going to worry about it. Mickey Chan, it's hot where Mickey Chan is too, yes. And I'm hoping my wife realizes and turns on the AC. I answered this question from Aphasia. Do I use spikes or vibration dampening feet for my speakers? I use spikes. I think either one is fine. What's my opinion of each technology? I don't think it makes that much difference in my estimation. In your estimation, it might very well. But what city am I in? I am in Burbank, California. Beautiful downtown Burbank, right up the street from NBC and Warner Brothers, and just the next town over from Universal. Disney is down the street, so it's Media Central here, that's for sure. Who gets the sweet spot, me or my wife, or Midnight Rider? Actually, I have set up the system. Neither of us are directly in the center. The projector stand is in the center. And so both of us are just to the either side of it. So we each have about equal quality there. Do I use a Vince360 asks if I use a UPS, uninterruptible power supply, for my entertainment equipment. Yes, I do. It's from APC, American Power Conditioning, I believe is what that called. Pete asks, what are my thoughts on ultraviolet DRM? Digital rights management. I must admit, I don't have much knowledge of that yet, so I am going to defer that question until some time later. This is a good question. ETIP 21, 120 watts per channel at 1 kilohertz, THD 10%, 8 ohms. What is a realistic estimate of the watts that you can really get out of this receiver? There's no way to estimate that. What you need to do is read the reviews of receivers on hometheater.com, where we actually perform measurements of the power output of these receivers with all channels driven across the entire audio spectrum, 20 to 20 kilohertz. In some cases, they actually come close to meeting the manufacturer's specification, whereas in other cases, they fall far short. So this is going to be this is a very variable situation here. Let's see. Have I ever considered getting D-Box motion controlled seats? No. They make me sick. Literally. They make me ill. In fact, in the years past when I've gone to the CEDIA trade show and I've gone to the Runco room, they always install these D-Box motion simulation seats in their demo room. And the first time I went in there, I physically got ill. So I left. And I, before the end of the demo, and they were all, oh, no, what are you leaving for? It's good, isn't it? And I said, well, yeah, the picture's good, but I can't stand sitting in those seats. So I go to CEDIA the next year, and I go to the Runco booth, and I'm kind of peering in there, and the guy comes out and goes, oh, here, we've got a seat just for you. They made a seat without a D-Box. I couldn't believe it. They knew I was going to be there, and I suppose I can't be the only one who has problems with the D-Box seat moving you around. But, man, for this reason, I also don't like roller coasters. I don't ride on roller coasters because I get motion sick. And the D-Box does that, and I really hate it. Let's see. AMD user Tower says, saw a real 3D TV demo at a Comic-Con and liked it. Well, good. I did, too. The demos I've seen, I have been extremely impressed with. And when that comes out, I'm just going to be very happy about it. What cable or satellite provider do I recommend for most HD channels? Well, cable providers are whoever you have that's providing cable service in your area. You don't have a lot of choice on that. Satellite, I think Direct and Dish both do a good job. So you can't go wrong, I think, either way there. I've heard tons of good things about Verizon Fios, which is fiber optic delivered content to your home. I can't get it in my area. I was going to put it in the studio, and I was going to put it in my home, but it's not available. And why it's not available in Burbank is quite beyond me, because this is, as I said, it's Media Central. And so it's not going to I don't know why they don't have it here. It doesn't make any sense. Midnight Rider asks, will I have to replace my screen to do 3D? Good question. And the answer is not if I get a JVC or some active glasses type of projector. And the reason is the only time you need a special screen, a silver polarization-preserving screen, is if you have a polarized version of 3D. The people who are offering that are LG and Runco, very expensive. And you're going to need... you're going to need a special screen for that. But I'm going to be, because I have a non-polarization preserving screen, I'm going to have to get one with active glasses if I'm going to have 3D here. I've already answered the question about butt kickers and base shakers and tactile transducers. At least 15 questions regarding my remotes. I thought I answered that already. I use the Harmony One remote. I've got all the original remotes for all the gear that's here, and I use them when I have to, when there's something goes wrong and I might have to dig into the menu or something. But otherwise, I use the Harmony, and I'm done with it. That's it. Let's see. Yes, offer code HTG7 for that Squarespace offer. Zvox soundbars. Twisto asks about Zvox soundbars. I think they're great. I like them. I like them a lot. Let's see. This is a question for anyone. I don't have a huge budget. This is Megahertz. Great screen name. I mainly listen through Sennheiser HD280s. Is it worth going to something like a Bithead Total Headroom DAC headphone amp over the internal sound? I would say probably so. Now, for more information about that, you want to go to our sister website, sibling website, called innerfidelity.com. One word, innerfidelity.com, where Tile Hertzens is the editor, and he has he covers headphones, headphone amps, DACs, all that stuff. He was a guest on the podcast 2 weeks ago. So go be sure and go look for that if you're interested in headphones. Caffeine-free Dave, of your current system, what one piece would you keep if you had to sell everything else? The Pioneer Curo, no question about it. Pioneer Curo flat panel, the best flat panel picture quality ever made, period. So that is an easy answer to that. Let's see. Aphasia asked, does the Firehawk G3 keep polarization? As far as I know, it does not. You need for that, from Stuart, you need either their silver screen or their what's called 5D, which is supposed to be is supposed to be good for 2D as well as 3D. But no, I don't think the Firehawk is. Any thoughts on why the picture quality on my Netflix is total crap? Nick Guitar says, well, partly because it's being streamed, and other than Voodoo HDX, I don't know of any streaming content that looks really good. But the other thing I would say is I have learned that different devices that provide access to a given content provider, like Netflix, will give you different quality, different picture quality. Not only that, they'll give you different user interface, and they'll give you different features. So it's really quite remarkable that, say, a Panasonic TV with Netflix will give you a different experience than a Panasonic Blu-ray with Netflix. I don't know why this is, but it is. And so it could be part of both of those that is simply the way of the world. Why doesn't the Harmony remote do RF and Bluetooth? Well, there are Harmony remotes that do RF. I don't know of any that do Bluetooth, but there are certainly Harmony remotes that do RF. The Harmony One does not. But I think they might have come up with one that that does. That's similar. That's maybe a follow-up to the Harmony One. But yeah, they do RF, absolutely. Beatmaster, what is picture quality worth when your eyes shake constantly? Well, that's a very good question. I couldn't tell you. And doesn't audio quality depend on the quality of your hearing to start with? Yes, absolutely. Which is why it's so important to protect your hearing. I always wear earplugs when I go to the movies or concerts. I just saw Jeff Bridges at the Troubadour this week, and even though it was, you know, country music and more or less acoustic, it was still amplified, and it was a small room. So I was I had my earplugs in, and I played in rock bands in college, and you know, my hearing has some damage. I have a little bit of a notch in the 3K range, 2 to 4, really. So yeah, that's a serious problem. And I really strongly recommend that you protect your hearing as much as possible. If you go to, and most movies are pretty loud, and I'm starting to publish the sound levels of movies. Whenever I go, I'm measuring them and then publishing them when I write up my report. They can get pretty loud. So really protect your hearing from that. Don't turn your iPod up too high. Tile and I were talking about that on the show with him. You want to protect your hearing. You really do, because once it's gone, it's gone. There's no way to get it back. When those hair cells inside the inner ear are damaged, then that's it. Let's see. Well, I got a ton of more questions. I don't know how much more time I've got, unfortunately. Let's see. If Burke can send me a note and tell me that, then I'll know whether or not to stop or not, because I can just keep going. If you like. Let's see. Headfi.org is another great place, Steam Clock says, for headphone information. We now have a recording time of 59 minutes, so I'm going to have to wrap this up pretty darn quick. What are the best sounding Grunblasten asks, what are the best sounding compact speakers in a bang for buck standpoint? Ooh, that's a good question. I'd have to go look online at hometheater.com to see what they recommend lately. I know the Pioneer came out with one very recently, and it's on hometheater.com, and that was extremely well reviewed. So that would be a good place. But absolutely go to hometheater.com and take a look at the reviews there. Let's see here. Looks like I have I'm not bumping up against another show, so what the heck? I'll just keep going for a while. The Late Show asks, how do you deal with high dynamic range of home CDs? I'm not sure I know what you mean by home CDs. You mean CDs? CDs can have a wide dynamic range. And if you have a good listening environment, then that's great. If you don't, or in particular, wide dynamic range is difficult to deal with when you're late at night and your wife is trying to sleep in the next room and you have to keep it down a little bit, but you still want to hear it. Most receivers these days have what's called a midnight mode, which compresses the dynamic range so that you can turn it down and still hear the soft parts and the loud parts. So, you know, that's all I can say about that at the moment. I'm not sure quite what you mean by home CDs. Let's see. Have I ever been in a flight sim like they used to train airline pilots? No, for the reasons I said before. I get motion sick. So I don't do that, yeah. Let's see. In-ear earbuds. Any recommendations? Knox Harrington asks. And the answer is I don't use them particularly. So go to innerfidelity.com, and I'm sure you'll see plenty of recommendations there as well. Virgil asks, would you say make sure that the home theater setup is grounded? Absolutely. And in fact, you want ideally to make sure that all of the outlets, the power outlets in your home theater, are all grounded and all connected to the same ground. If they're not, if they have different paths to ground, then you can easily end up with what are called ground loops, which in the audio domain appear as buzz, a low-frequency buzz. And in the video domain, they can appear as bars that scroll through the screen. So the answer is yes, grounding is very important, and having them all connected to the same ground is important. When we moved into this house some 11 years ago, more than that now, 13 years ago, coming up in October, we had the entire electrical system redone, and I had the electrician make sure that all of the outlets in the theater all went to the same ground back at the junction box, at the breaker box, and I have no ground loop problems here whatsoever. Let's see. Is the midnight mode ever two-channel for CD playback? Well, I assume it applies to whatever you're playing, so it should work. I don't see why not. Let's see. Olverton says, maybe complicated. outputting the coax from the cable box to channel 3. So I can see what is on the box around the house. With an amplifier, it works great. Just recently tried to add a video converter to broadcast on channel 4. When I do, this one knocks out the signal of the other. Oh, you're right. That's too complicated for me to answer right here. I'd have to do a little research on that. Please do send me an email, and I want to make sure everyone knows my email, which is scott@twit.tv. And if you give me a little more information about, you know, what the brand of cable box is, not that it probably matters, then I will answer that. I answer questions both on ultimateavmag.com and on hometheater.com. And I will do my best to answer that question. Now, I will let everybody know that I get so many questions that I'm probably about a month behind right now. So if you're asking a question that you need the answer tomorrow, you're not going to get it. Sorry. I just, you know, I'm trying to answer as many of these questions as I possibly can. I get a lot of questions. Virgil asks a great question. Does having the ears professionally cleaned help with hearing? Yes, absolutely. I have that done probably once or twice a year. I would go to an ENT, an ear, nose, throat doctor, rather than an audiologist. I just feel more comfortable with a doctor poking around near my eardrums than an audiologist. So that's what I have to say about that. But yes, it is very important. let's see here. Is there a place in the hobby that is overlooked? Wires, power, rack, etc.? Well, overlooked by whom, I suppose, is the question. I try to address all of these issues. The rack, maybe not so much. That's certainly covered in Stereophile. Again, audiophiles pay more attention to how their components are isolated from each other than I personally do. So that may be something to consider there. Power, I don't spend a lot of time covering power products, but now that you mention it, I probably should do more. So that's a good suggestion. Thank you, Caffeine Free Dave. Cables, wires, that's a real tricky situation. Whenever I get audiophiles on the show, I ask them, you know, how much difference exotic cables make. And I've come to believe that the most I've come to believe that cables, exotic, expensive cables, and they can be thousands and even tens of thousands of dollars, make a difference, especially if the quality of the rest of the system is high enough so that the difference in cable you can hear, plus it makes a difference if you are what's called a trained listener. So people who have been trained as to what to listen for will more likely be able to pick out the expensive cable from the not expensive cable than an untrained listener. I myself feel that for my own system, I have AudioQuest cables in this room, and they're perfectly fine. I don't need $20,000 cables. And I also believe that those who do advocate $20,000 mega expensive cables and buy them for themselves have a psychological factor going on, which is they damn well better hear a difference if they're going to spend that much money on cables. So, bottom line is, yes, I think they make a difference, but they don't make enough of a difference for me to spend that kind of money. I'm going to get good quality cables and leave it at that. Is there a difference between 720p and 1080p at a viewing distance of 10 feet? I already answered that question. Did the electrician also install a whole home surge protection? No. No, he didn't. But I didn't feel it was necessary here. In Southern California, we don't really have much in the way of lightning or anything like that. We do have brownouts occasionally or blackouts, very occasionally, very rare. But I have a UPS for that. But I didn't feel the need for any whole house surge protection. what to look for when choosing a power conditioner. You know, I wrote about that quite some time ago, and I can't quite remember. You know, it's my brain's a FIFO buffer. What can I tell you? Basically, you want it to have good, fast response for surge protection. For power conditioning, you want it to be able to pull up sagging power levels. I'll have to dig up that article. The other guy is asking this question. So if you want to send me an email, it's scott@twit.tv. I will look up that article and send you the link, because that would be the way to do it. Phono preamps. I am not a phono guy. I do not listen to vinyl. There are plenty of other places you can go to look for phono information. Stereophile.com, for example, is where they spend a lot of time on vinyl and phonograph and stuff like that. But sorry, that ain't me, babe. Let's see. Well, you know what? I'm just... Let's see. Lazy Guru... Oh, no. Sorry. Aphasia is pointing out the show that I did with J.J. Johnston, the chief scientist at DTS. That was a great show. So definitely do recommend that one. How do I rate LG plasma TVs? The ones I've seen so far have not been all that great. I would generally, in terms of plasmas, recommend first Panasonic, second Samsung. Now, you say the dry dog that you ask me how do I rate them, and then you say you have a 50-inch and you love it. Fantastic. I'm so glad. Make sure that you at least choose the movie mode or cinema mode or whatever they call it, and then select that mode. And then I would recommend that you go for get a disc like Spears and Munsell, High Definition Benchmark, or Digital Video Essentials, or even the Monster HDTV Calibration Wizard disc, and set your brightness and contrast controls. Those are the first ones to set and the most important ones to set. And I would say brightness is even more important than contrast, but both of them are important. And if you set those two in the movie mode or the cinema mode, the picture will look its best. And again, if you like LG plasma, then fantastic. That's just great. Lazy Guru would like to hear from Dolby and have a Dolby representative on the show. I think that's a great idea. I would be happy to do that. In fact, I've had one guy on who was a Dolby video guy, but a Dolby audio guy I haven't had on yet, so I'll make sure that happens. Dooney, who makes the best LCD TVs? Will LED eventually replace fluorescent? Well, I hope so. I much prefer LED over fluorescent. It's more consistent. Generally gives you better black levels. Who makes the best LCD TVs? I would say that's a toss-up for me between Sony and Samsung. They both make very good LCD TVs. Those would be my top two. Plasma TVs do use more electricity, and they do run hotter. That is correct, Harley Hub. But these days, modern plasma TVs are actually quite a bit more energy efficient than they used to be. So, as far as I can tell, the disparity in power consumption between LCDs and plasmas is becoming equalized. So it's not as much of an issue, certainly, as it used to be. On Mitsubishi DLP HD TVs, their movie picture mode is called natural. Okay, so sometimes it's called natural. Usually it's called movies or something like that. Oh, and I have to say, Jacob, good point. Calibration Wizards, you can find also on THX DVD and Blu-ray discs. They have a special feature called THX Optimizer, which does the same thing. It puts up certain images that let you set the brightness, contrast, color and tint as long as you have those blue filter glasses. Yes, any THX DVD or Blu-ray will have THX Optimizer, which will let you do the same thing. So you don't have to actually go out and buy a separate disc. Titus has been asking me, how do I protect the electronic stuff in your house against space alien EMF attacks? Yeah, how do I do that? Well, I don't know. I started watching Falling Skies. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I didn't think it was very interesting. It's just another alien attacks, humans defending themselves. I've seen it so many times before, and it's just not that interesting. Yeah, there's some human element to it. Beatmaster likes it. Web 8077 thinks not bad. Lazy Guru says okay. Ken Crayley says not okay. Twisto says so boring. Okay. Yeah, change channels. All right. So I'm not the only one. let's see. Twisto says I have an LG TV and the theater mode is really, really yellow. Well, does it have a movie mode or a cinema mode? Maybe theater is the mode I'm talking about. And if that's the case, then you'd have to go try a different mode and see what's going on there. Can't please everyone, Eric Duckman. That's exactly right. Let's see here. Beatmaster, again, you asked this before, but I already answered it, which is I don't know anything about phono preamps. Yes, here, Web4944 asks, have you heard of screen paint for budget projector installations? I believe it's called screen goo. That's exactly what it's called, screen goo. And I have heard of it. I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure whether I think it's good or not. But I would want to be sure that the wall surface that you put it on is very smooth. Now, I suspect that the material, that the paint, the screen goo, is very thick, in which case the texture of the wall won't matter as much. But you want the screen surface, the outside surface, to be very smooth. So I would just want to make sure of that before I used it. But I haven't used it, so I can't really say whether or not it's good or not. Virgil, would blue polarized sunglasses work? No. For setting the color and tint controls on your TV, no. You need special color filter glasses. And here's a very important point about that. They are not particularly accurate, in particular with LCD TVs. So they're not very reliable. And I'm sorry that they're not, but they're not. Much better is if the TV itself has a special mode called blue only mode. Now, what this does is it turns off all the colors but blue. It shows everything in only blue. That allows you to set the color and tint controls perfectly for that TV. Now, unfortunately, not all TVs have a blue-only mode, and it tends to be only on more expensive TVs. But if you can find a TV with blue-only mode, that is really by far the best way to set color and tint. Coast asks, what are my favorite TV shows? Ah, well, here's something I can definitely talk to. On TNT, I love The Closer. I think it looks great. I think the stories are great. Of course, I'm a big Trek fan, so anything Trek, I'm totally there. V was pretty good. Unfortunately, most of the shows that I like the most didn't last very long, which might say something about me. But in any event, I loved Firefly. It was only one season, but it was great. Babylon 5 was probably my favorite of all time science fiction series, 5 years worth. Let's see. What was that show? Flash Forward. Any TV show in which quantum physics is a primary element is A-okay with me. I loved that show, and I was really sorry that they canceled that and kept V. Now, V's okay. I think it looks pretty good myself. But again, it's aliens attacking, and humans defending themselves. But it's a little more subtle than that because they're pretending to be our friends. But I thought Flash Forward was fantastic. Really, really amazing. Quantum Leap. That was a good show. I did like that show. It got a little too maudlin for me. So I kind of lost interest in it, but it was very good. Will you be doing more in-depth reviews of home theater computers? Yeah, probably. At some point, I expect I probably will. Sliders, that was another that had some quantum physics in it, and it was pretty good. That was a pretty good show. Jericho, I never watched. Was it good? M. Kohaku says that Jericho. It suggests Jericho. Farscape. Oh, of course, Virgil. How could I forget Farscape? Also, one of the very best sci-fi shows on television ever. Period. Just great. I was so sad when that went off the air. That was just great. M. Kohaku says that Jericho is really good, so maybe I'll catch it on reruns or on DVD. Screen Goo is very special, Aaron B. says. I'm going to have to go out of camera range a little bit here. Let's see. Main issue is you have to be a little careful when applying it because nothing is more annoying than brushstroke marks. I was wondering about that. I wondered about that. Even rollers leave a type of mark, right? So you have to use a special brush and so on. I personally, I wouldn't want to do that myself. So that's why... I'd hire somebody to do it, and then it gets expensive, so why not just get a screen? Jericho just got added to Netflix. Oh, good. Thanks, M. Kohaku. Battlestar Galactica, Knox Harrington suggests. the 70s, it's actually 80s, early 80s version, I was so hokey. So hokey. And yet I grew up on it and kind of liked it just because of that. The 2000s one was really, really good, but I didn't like all the handheld camera action. That just, it made me a little ill. So that's why I didn't, one reason I didn't like it very much. The other reason I didn't like it very much was that it departed from the original pretty badly in that it made the Cylons look like... be able to substitute for humans, and that was a little strange. A female Starbuck was also a little weird for me. So that's why I didn't really get into that so much. Burke, my engineer today, points out, and rightly so, Deep Space Nine, best Star Trek series. I have to agree. Not many people do. I like Next Gen, of course. I grew up on the original series. That's all great. But Deep Space Nine, I agree, was my favorite Trek series. Primarily because it was set in a stationary location. And it had longer story arcs. And it had... a little bit deeper political, philosophical, even spiritual themes than any of the other Trek series. So, yes, Burke, I agree with you totally. Deep Space Nine was my favorite Trek series. Well, you know what? It's about time for me to go. I've been doing this now for an hour and a half, and it just seems like it flashed right by. I would love to introduce you to my wife. Let me see if she's around, and So she can come just say a quick hi to the chat room. So just one second. Hey, Joanna. Come here. Oh, good. Well, let me put the – I'd like for everyone to meet my wife, Joanna Kasdan, otherwise known as Mrs. Scott, in the chat room. I'm going to put the microphone up for her.
Hi, everybody.
So here is – yeah, Dale Poco is saying hi to Mrs. Scott. Now, those of you who who follow me regularly will see her in the chat room once in a while. Oh, Aaron B. wants us to do a duet. Isn't that nice? Mm, what shall we sing?
Happy July
4th to you. Happy July 4th to you. Happy July 4th, dear chat room. Happy July 4th to you.
Nice.
Nice. So that with that, on that note, I will say yes, I hope so. All right. Yes, so we're getting applause in the chat room. I was singing alto.
No, but we need tenors.
We do need tenors. Anybody in the LA area who wants to sing in a choir this fall, send me an email, especially if you're a tenor. let's see. Oh, the one question for you. Are you a geek?
I'm a geekette. I'm a semi geek. I'm an anatomy geek for sure.
Yeah.
I work in healthcare, so I do biology, he does physics, and we kind of meet halfway on chemistry.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, she has actually taught anatomy, and she takes students into the anatomy lab and opens up cadavers and shows them stuff. I have not gone there. No way. Mrs. Geek. Yes, she is, yes, Mrs. Geek.
Mrs. Geek. Exactly.
All right.
I'm geek enough to be able to, you know, watch science shows with him and not and ask, you know, stupidly good questions.
Excellent. So that's it for this edition, a long edition episode of Home Theater Geeks. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. And I look forward to seeing you next, not this coming Monday, which is July 4th, which we just sang about, but a week from July 4th, which is July 11th, when my guest is not yet fully nailed down. So it's going to be a surprise. Anyway, certainly I'll have somebody interesting, and I do hope you will join me then. As always, you can email me at scott@twit.tv and find my stuff online at ultimateavmag.com and hometheater.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott. So happy Independence Day, everybody, and we will see you in a little over a week. Until then, geek out.